And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome to No Dunks. I'm Tess. Here along with me are Trey, Lee, and of course the man making that magic happen. It's JD, and with us, a special guest. He's host of MSNBC's All In with Chris Hayes. He's host of the Why Is This Happening podcast. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say he is disgusted by the notion that Dr. Fauci could beat him in a game of one-on-one.
Come on!
Yeah, right? MSNBC's Chris Hayes. Chris, thanks for joining us.
How's it going, gentlemen?
it's going great. Yeah, I threw that in off the top because
well,
I know it would get you going. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I know you're...
It. Go ahead.
Well, explain it. He's giving up. He's 5'6 and 80 years old and giving up 85 pounds. Yeah. I was like, they're talking about you and Fauci on No Dunks. I was like, well, were they joking? I'm like, I don't know if they're joking. They seem serious. I'm like, I would physically injure him. Like, I'm not like a great basketball player. I'm a perfectly fine, like, 42-year-old one-time high school varsity basketball player. But I think I can take him.
I read in a GQ interview though, Chris. You said you just play defense, so you know this is not going to be a high scoring affair against the Duffer. Is that right?
That's true.
Yeah, when the scouting report says captain of a high school team in 1958, you got to go with the guy who's a little bit younger on the age spectrum. Do you think this is something that could happen in the future here, though?
I think we're
both a little busy.
I think we're going to try to set something up. I mean, my first thought, I actually got a hilarious text the first time that it was floated on the show. I got a hilarious text from someone at my network who was like, "You can't play basketball and injure him." Like, he's like a national like resource that you can't. And I had the thought, I don't know if you guys remember this, but you know, Obama used to play pickup when he was in the White House, mostly in the first term. And there was a young staffer. It was like he used to like play with like real. He would like assemble like good ball players, right? So these were like, you know, kind of former D1 college players. And there was some poor schmuck, some 22-year-old college, you know, fresh out of college staffer, I think for the Hispanic Congressional Caucus, who like swung through with the president guarding him and just like nailed him on the jaw. Uh-oh. And by the way, I think the pickup game basically ended soon after. Yeah. But I was just like, so I think we're going to try to set up something. Maybe we'll play horse or something. I think this sort of low contact undertaking is probably the way to do it.
Right. I was just surprised with the verbiage that Dr. Fauci used. He said he would destroy
me,
eke out a win. Not it'll be a good fun.
The thing is, he was a good player on, you know, and that team we used to play them actually. When I, it's funny because we played Regis. I grew up in New York City, and I went to a school called Hunter High School that was like a magnet school, and it had a decent basketball program. It actually got much better after I left because what happened in New York City is that. I don't know if you know this, but the Gates Foundation, there was like a few studies that said smaller high schools are better. And so the Gates Foundation came in and just like broke up every high school in New York City. And so all of a sudden my small high school was like competing against a lot of other small high schools because we would go up against these high schools that were four or five times as big as ours. So then when they all became small, our school got better. But back in the day when we were playing Regis, which is also a kind of magnet school for Catholic boys, they had a good team. They were like good basketball players. And he was the point guard captain of that team when they were pretty good. So that guy could play for sure. I'm sure.
Yeah. Captain of the 58 Regis High School basketball team at 5'7", as you said, just to lay down the stats, you're half his age, essentially, much taller. But is there a way? I mean, he runs every day, apparently.
No way.
Is there a way? Is there a way?
No.
There's literally no way. I mean, I would be, as I think through, like, obviously I would just be so paranoid about injuring the man. So maybe, you know, if there's a force field around him.
You said, you know, you said your game has been compared to a Billy Owens vibe. That's a deep pull for anyone who's not a fan of the 90s. Of course, Billy Owens is a big hyped up sort of point forward out of Syracuse. Didn't quite live up to his expectations. Do you have a more modern day?
That's true of me too.
Do you have a more modern day comparison to who your game?
No, I think it was Tommy Craggs of Deadspin who called me. I used to play pickup ball with him. There's a pickup game that I've been in for. Well, I've been in a bunch of pickup games. Best pickup game I've ever been in my life actually was in DC. There's this incredible pickup game in DC that's run out of Gonzaga High School, which is a Jesuit school. There, it's got a very good basketball program, great gym, a few blocks from the Capitol. There's a guy who's been running this game for 20 or 30 years. It's the best pickup game I've ever been to in my life. It's got all these rules, but everyone knows them. So like, there's none of that, you know, you get there and it's like, wait, who's going? It's like you get there and everyone counts off. So you know what number you are and who's playing when, and like everything just runs right away. Everyone's very busy. But I played in that game. And then I played in a pickup game here with a bunch of people, a lot of folks who work in like New York media. And we're all now, I think we're going to get back. I think the clearance has now gone out. Although someone wrote an article, did you see this one, about like the risk of the first time back on the court?
Yeah.
Post layoff, just like a bunch of 40-year-olds like taking the court after 15 months off is just like an absolute recipe for mass injury.
Oh yeah, there's going to be a lot of reconstructive surgeries on knees coming up here in not too long, unfortunately, because I mean, after not playing for 15 months, that's a long layoff, and then guaranteed you're going harder than ever once you actually get back out there. Have you played at all yet, Chris?
I haven't, no, and I'm very excited to, but like I think, you know, the risk reward calculation to pick up basketball really starts to get dicey at this age. It really does. Like, it's like, can you imagine what an absolute pain in the ass it would be to tear an ACL right now? And for what? For what? Like, I mean,
to stay on the court, I guess?
Months and months of your life, like being like limping around, being in crutches, reconstructive surgery, physical therapy, to what? To play? To throw up a few ricks and like maybe get a steal here and there, like maybe have one good bounce pass once a week in your 40s. Like, what? Why are you doing that?
Yeah, you might get to be the guy in that Adam Sandler clip where he gets doubled in the corner, kicks it to the top, and just the most famous shot he's ever takes, bricks it off the glass, doesn't even hit the rim. That's what it's going to be like.
I love good Adam Sandler pickup basketball highlights. Oh, I love, like,
yeah, he wants those cutters. He's telling people to move. Move it. All right, Chris, I saw not too long ago you were wondering if you would get a hit if you played an entire MLB season. FanGraphs actually said not just
wasn't
one
that
hit,
fun?
1.8 hits. How about if you played in the NBA for a full season? Would you score a basket?
Oh, that's fascinating. I mean, that's a little different, right? Because, like, an uncontested layup in an NBA game on a runout is an uncontested layup in a
right.
court anywhere. When you're 10 years old, right? Whereas a single off of 95-mile-per-hour fastball is just a completely different thing than like a 45-mile-per-hour, you know, little league pitch. So, I mean, I think, yeah, like if you could get a runout here or there, but, you know, I don't know if you guys have ever played, you know, been on courts with like professional basketball players, but like, I mean, the two big things that are amazing about it, the few times that I have been in whatever situation, is there's obviously the size thing, which you can't really even communicate. Like, we've all seen.
Absolutely not.
We've seen like the Dwayne Johnson, the Rock with Charles Barkley pick, you know, like, and like him with Kevin Hart and then him with Charles Hart and Barkley and Shaq, and he looks like Kevin Hart. But there's also just like the craziest thing. And I think about this all the time because I think it relates a little to the FanGraphs question of like, what is training and what's talent? And, you know, I think about this in terms of shooting. So it's like, if I took the next year off of my life, and I just said, I'm going to just be as good a jump shooter as I can be, and I'm going to hire whatever shooting coach, and I'm just going to spend 8 hours a day in the gym shooting. Like, how good a shooter could you be, right? How much of that is just these are people that are professionally trained to do this and do it all the time in a way that like no amateur ever does. And how much of it is just talent? Because the thing that's so crazy about being around really good basketball players is they just never miss a shot. They never miss a shot. Like the only reason an NBA player ever misses a shot is because of the level of defense. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we've all seen the videos of Steph in the corner three in the gym at the end of practice hitting 50 in a row or whatever. Like, and that part of it is just such a fascinating question to me, a little along the lines of that Fangraph question, which is how much of that is just dedication, technique, you know, the professionalization of doing something, and how much of it is raw talent. And I think, you know, there's like Julius Randle, which is a fascinating question right now, right? Like, how did that happen? How did it happen? How do you go from what was he shooting, 28, 29% from three to 39, 40%, you know, in basically a year? And it's like, could other players do that who are having a hard time? Can Coby White get in on whatever Julius Randle's doing? Although he's shot 38%, he's fine, but could be better. But I mean, he's fine.
Yeah, we would have liked to see it the first half of the season, Coby.
Yeah, Coby White is a little... although someone ran his stat line with LaMelo Ball, and they're like bizarrely similar, so I got to lay off Coby White. But just the question of how much of that, how much of what you see from professional athletes is this, you know, obviously there's this insane amount of talent and there's a selection for size and speed and these like athletic qualities that no mere mortal has. But then a lot of it is just like, these are people that iteratively train doing the same task over and over in a way that no one else could ever do, right? Just in terms of your time. And I always wonder like how much of it, which part of that equation.
Right. But that's also why they say hitting a baseball is the hardest thing to
totally.
Do in sports. I mean,
right.
You talk about the speed and the size on a basketball floor. You cannot replicate.
Okay, but there's one. There's a harder thing because I thought about this too. So it was interesting to me. There was like Fangraphs said you probably get a hit, and there was a few major league pitchers, former major league pitchers, who chimed in to be like, yeah, you'd run into one, right?
Right.
Okay.
You'd put a bat on a ball.
You put a bat on a ball. And I think in an NBA season, like, yeah, you'd get, if let's say you're on the Denver Nuggets and like, you just like, you know, you cheat and you leak out and Jokic throws a baseball pass 78 feet and hits you in stride and you hit a layup. Here's the thing that you absolutely would never be able to do, I think. Would you be able to complete a single pass as an NFL quarterback?
Oh.
I think the answer is there's no freaking way you would. I mean, now at one level you want to be like, okay, well you could you know, dump it off the running back, you should be able to do that, or even just a
fine
shovel pass, but like could you drop back and complete a pass in a whole season? Like, I don't think so.
I don't know,
that one seems
scary.
Harder
seeing like defensive yeah. linemen come at
I mean,
you as fast
just
as
terrifying
they can.
Just terrifying,
yeah, trying yeah. to keep your head, no way.
Yeah, the drop back part of that is the most important part.
No way.
I could see a play action.
Even handling, you know, the snap with like a 6'7", 350 dude.
Let's go.
Like looking at you.
Well, you know, you talked about shooting and you set off another sort of controversy or thread of comments on Twitter when you said on February 14th of this year, you commented on Twitter.
Is this on
said,
Dame? Is this going to be about Dame versus Steph?
Yes. You said
I was trolling. Steph is better.
You said, is Lillard better than Steph? You're watching a Blazers game. I'm pretty sure. I checked the date. I think he was having a good one against Luka.
Yeah.
Steph not in uniform on that night. But maybe you sprung the season that Steph Curry had, because Steph wasn't Steph until, you know, the last few months.
Until
of the
he
season,
read that so. Tweet, I think.
The, mm-hmm. Exactly.
I mean, that's my understanding. He just needed a little motivation.
Totally. Right there. Has Steph surprised you this season? I mean, he's because I think he's surprised a lot of people these last few months since you made that tweet.
It is a little like, I mean, I was going through his stats the other day, and I mean, first of all, it's just a, you know, it's just an obvious point about being healthy or not healthy, like fully healthy versus not healthy. You realize how much, you also realize how much, you know, professional athletes, basketball players, baseball players, football, they're playing with nagging injuries all the time. And like, it does really make a difference. I mean, seeing this year, actually, I'm a Cubs fan in baseball. Chris Bryant is like, oh, wow, well, there's the MVP. Mm-hmm. And it's like, right, he's been injured the last few years. He hasn't been, you know, he hasn't been himself. So there's probably that. But also when you look at, I mean, how old is Steph now? He's what,
33, I think.
32 points per game at 33 years
yeah,
of age.
I mean, it's pretty wild what he's done this year. It really is.
Oldest player to do it.
Oldest player to do it. And like, there is definitely feels like a kind of fountain of youth thing that happened with him. And also, obviously, he's got to carry the load in a way that, you know, when it was him and Clay, he didn't have to. So that's part of it as well. And I also think Dame has been great this year. That team is so strange, you know. It's like one of those teams that's going to just it's not quite Sacramento Kings level because they never got that. They were never as good as a Kings team that never quite made it. But, you know, that team is like every time you watch them, if you're like me and you're like a psychotic league pass addict and you're watching, you know, I mean, the games that I will watch at 10 o'clock. Oh, yeah. It's like, really?
Well, you're watching Blazers.
It's like, oh,
that
some
night, I guess.
Sacramento, Cleveland. All right. What are we doing here? Like, yeah, like I think that team is so interesting just because he's so spectacularly talented. He's so fun to watch. And that team is fun to watch and just never going to be good enough to really penetrate, you know, and that there's these teams that just get built. They don't seem like teams you should blow up. You know, they're not like disappointing or bad in any way. They're just not good enough to get into that top tier. And I feel like the league is getting very stratified in that way too. Post the sort of LeBron super team era where there's going to be four or five teams that have a shot because they have the talent. They've got, you know, 3-4 all-stars. They've got 2 all-NBA players on them. And everyone else can build, like, perfectly good teams and just not even be really a threat.
Yes, I totally hear what you're saying. Where we're at this point here, we're getting to the play-in tournament where it seems like, you know, other than this special LeBron situation, it doesn't seem like any of those teams have any sort of shot at making the finals. But maybe you're the wrong person to ask this because you're going to be watching League Pass no matter what. But has the play-in tournament increased your level of interest in the game?
Yeah, I think it's good. I mean, I think innovating with stuff is good. I think I don't know. I'm definitely in the family of people that thinks the league is in a great place and has been just a freaking delight to watch for the last 7 or 8 years. And you know, I think Kevin Garnett said that, contrary to like all the, I think it's weird that like every network just employs like old players who like hate the way the game is played now. Yeah. It's sort of a bummer. It's like,
yeah, but KG's against it. There's a handful of former players like KG or Wade or Candace Parker now, yeah, who celebrate the game.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. There's many that aren't.
I mean, I think the play-in, I think it's a pretty good innovation. I mean, the league got lucky. They're going to have LeBron and Steph in that one play-in. And yeah, I think it's cool. I mean, I also think from a labor standpoint and labor piece, like moving that down from 82 to, what are they, 72 now?
72, yeah.
Was probably smart. Like, I don't know if we needed those extra 10 games, and I think that was the way to get the union to bite on it.
They'll be back next year, though.
Yeah,
that's the unfortunate part. Yeah. That this was a necessity of the circumstances, and they'll just be back.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I mean, yeah, I think we could probably lose some regular season games, although that's revenue, and I understand why the owners are sort of loath to give that up.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Speaking of that, you love the first round of the playoffs. You love 16 teams in there.
I've seen it.
You tweet that that's your favorite round, the first round of the playoffs.
That's me. I mean, everyone, I love March Madness, but I'm not a college basketball fanatic. I mean, I just partly because I didn't go to a school that had some team. I think that's a big part of it. People, particularly in college, like get connected to their team and then they go through this their life. But for me, that first round of the NBA playoffs is just so delightful. You know, every night there's like multiple games and there's so many, you know, I mean, this is like really like a league pass, you know, junkie's confession. But like, you know, almost every team has a few players that you want to watch. I mean, I'm talking even like garbage teams. Like, it's like, you know, the Oklahoma City Thunder with their like 7-3 point guard.
That's right.
And like, you know, and I mean, I will watch every Grizzlies game just to watch Ja Morant. Like, just if it's on, I will definitely. And so, I don't know. I love professional basketball. I love the NBA. I love where the game's at. I think I wonder. I sometimes wonder if baseball, you know, because obviously the NBA of our youths, I think we're all around the same age of those, like, you know, 81, 84, you know, Knicks, Bulls, grinded out games, huge amounts of hand checking, incredibly physical, very hard to get shots off, very, sort of low point of points per minute in the modern NBA history. And then, you know, rule changes that were very effective to increase the scoring. And I wonder if there's something like that for baseball, because, like, I think it's like a historic low this year in baseball and balls put in cotton to play. It's sometimes you're watching a major league game. Both my older kids are in Little League this year. One's in like coach pitch and one's in softball where kids pitch. And it's like sometimes watching a major league game starts to feel like watching a Little League game. Like no one's putting the ball in play, you know? And you're like, all right, this is not that fun.
Athletes are just so good today. So in the NBA, that's all right because it means we get games that are 150 to 148. But in baseball, it means the pitchers are so good that you, I don't know. I saw a podcast recently that was like, are there too many no-hitters? That used to be like crazy. The most exciting thing, right? A no-hitter, that's crazy.
If you have the MLB app on your phone, it feels like twice a week you get a push notification of like someone's taking a no-hitter to the eighth inning.
Yeah, how do they do that? That's the tough part. I mean, the notion is setting the mound back a foot or two.
Because you can't do that. That's so insane. I mean,
it's not though. The pitching is just so fast.
No, it's so fast, but it just seems crazy to do that to the pitchers. Like, I feel like you would have to start at a younger. You would have to start phasing it in. Uh-huh. Like, you can't just go to someone who spent their entire life like training on this one thing and then be like, "We're stepping it back."
Back it up.
Like, I think you would have to just start implementing it in the minors, honestly, and then just sort of graduated up, because I think it would just be nuts to just, I feel like you'd have injuries so here's my question for you guys. Who do you like in the West? And what do you think of are the Jazz for real? To me is like the big question is like, is this one of those teams that, you know, it's a little like, remember that Hawks team that was really good Kyle Korver?
Right in Atlanta, right here.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that team was like, you always knew. You were like, okay, you guys are racking up a lot of regular season wins, but 7-game playoff, I don't really believe in this team, you know? And partly that's just like, you could create a team that's a sort of ensemble with like collective talent that could run the table a lot. But it really does come down to like, who has the best players in playoffs. And I just wonder about this Jazz team on the, you know, whether you guys are believers.
That's fair.
It's a good question because they get compared to that Hawks team, which obviously lost to LeBron in the playoffs. And for me, maybe the same for you, Chris, they remind me a little bit of the good Bulls teams from early in the 2010s where the defense is going to be there. The defense is going to show up, you know that, but do they have another gear offensively? I don't know. They shot threes really well this year, and that's kind of always going to be a question mark. When you're a three-point shooting team, you're obviously going to win games when you're on fire and probably lose when you miss a lot. And there's, of course, the chance that the Jazz could run into LeBron as well. I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt because they've been the best team for the entire season, but the questions certainly linger.
Yeah. Well, you say, who has the best players? Are the Lakers... the Lakers right now, do they have their best players? Like, is LeBron LeBron and is AD AD? I mean, that's a fair question. So that's where I think the Jazz can slip through. And the Clippers are, you know, maybe the second most talented bunch, I guess. I mean, they have holes too. If there's a year, and maybe this is just, you know, pre-playoff me talking, but it feels like there's a path.
I agree there's a path. But I think only because of where – you know, LeBron and AD are at in terms of and that team. Mm-hmm. I think without Jamal Murray, the Nuggets, it's not going to happen. But they have played just unbelievably impressive basketball since he went down, and Michael Porter Jr. has been really, really good. And a reminder, I mean, what was he? He was like a 7 pick or something, right? I mean, he's like a lottery.
He's deeper. He dropped 16, deeper, yeah. I think.
Yeah.
He got.
Oh, was he?
He had a back injury. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's right. He was. He was going to be a like top 7-8 pick before that back injury. And he. I mean, and also, I just like I cannot get enough Jokic. I can't get enough of it. It's no. Like, no. I love watching him.
The Murray thing is too bad, because with the way Jokic has really played this season, it's like you can easily see like a Dirk Nowitzki 2011 run for the Nuggets, now not having that perimeter guy, that's a bummer.
Yeah, it can't happen.
But the big story is, you know, where you are living, because you're from Chicago, but you live in New York.
No, I'm from New York, and I've lived in New York my whole life. I'm weirdly a Chicago sports fan because of my father. So just one of these weird things where you inherit your dad's.
Okay.
Smart guy.
So what's it like, though, with the Knicks? I mean, they've been.
It's awesome. I love it. People, you hear, like, when I like walk into the office, it's like the security guys are talking about it. It's awesome. There's nothing, you know, it's been so long, so long. The team has been such garbage for so long. And they're also a really, you know, they remind me a bit of that, you know, because they got Tibbs, they remind me of those Bulls teams a little bit, just in terms of the sheer level of defensive intensity. And they're a fun team to root for. Like they're fun. They work really hard. You know, Randall's blooming is really enjoyable. And they're great. I mean, and D Rose's sort of second, I mean, I've got very complicated feelings about D Rose, the man. Mm-hmm. But as a sort of basketball career second act, it's been fun to watch him as well. And so it's great. And I have to say, like, My dad and brother are big Nets fans, and they've been Nets fans for 15 or 20 years, mostly because back when the Knicks were really good, like, you just couldn't get a ticket to the Garden. And so my dad started doing this thing where he'd take us to Nets games when they were over in Jersey, and every year would like put together like a game where like a bunch of people, you know, 40 or 50 tickets, people would all get together and we'd all go and kept up that, you know, kept that up through the years. And so they're very diehard Nets fans, and they're pretty psyched about this as well. And I have to say, like, they're also sort of surprisingly a delight to watch. Not surprisingly, because obviously they have an insane amount of talent, but, you know, they just, every different iteration of who they've had on the court, they've been pretty fun.
Mm-hmm. That Blake Griffin pass the other day, I mean,
that was wild.
Come on.
That was
wild. Yeah, and you know, they got enough pizzazz, but they also have enough, I think, focus not to be a-holes on the court and just play one-on-one ball. Like, they are all on the same page.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. I mean, Harden's run there when it was just him on that team, and he was just, you know, posting 15 assists a night was incredible. And it was so night and day from what he was doing in Houston, but it was really fun to watch. And I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the East for that reason. I mean, there's not much that compelling in the East, I think, other than that, honestly. Like, I just don't really see anyone else.
Yeah. Is the Joel Embiid put this team on my back thing at gonna happen, I think, is the other storyline. Yeah. And can Giannis break out as well?
Yeah.
You know, we're in the podcast business, Chris. We're always looking for good storylines, but I understand what you're saying.
No, you're right about the Sixers, though. You're right. I mean, that to me is the more interesting one. I don't, for some reason, I'm just not really a believer in that Bucks team, but.
Well, they haven't done it.
It's hard to be.
But the Sixers, I think there is something there. And I've watched them, you know, I've watched a bunch of games this year, and they, like, when the chips are down, they can really bring it. They've got a lot of places to put the ball, and some, you know, some different parts that Curry having Seth Curry on that team, I think, has been a really good fit. So we'll see, but I would love, like, Nets Knicks playoff series would really be great. Mm-hmm. Great for the city. I think they'd probably just, like, let everyone back in the building.
will you be going down to the Garden for this first round against the Hawks, at least, you know, maybe a game or two?
I would like to, but the problem is my schedule is so bad for basketball game attendance. Partly why I'm like, watch a lot of West Coast, League Pass. So yeah, I'm probably not going to be able to catch any. I would love to, though. I'd love to see Nets first round too. But we'll see if there's a weekend game.
There'll be a Sunday game, I think, for at least one of those you can get to. Yeah, but totally. So you're like New York. It doesn't matter if it's the Nets or Knicks. You're not like, If the Knicks don't win it, I want the Nets to go out too. You're just like totally New York.
No, whatever. Because they're not my. Because I'm a Bulls fan and right. always have been. So I don't. And the Bulls have managed to pull off that incredibly rare thing of missing the playoffs and getting the worst lottery position, which is just saying, really the pole position, which is like let's aim for just right, the worst on the lottery and the worst in playoffs, and right here. So I don't have strong feelings. I want to see them both do well. And I think I like watching the city be psyched about basketball.
What did you think about the Bulls this season, Chris? They're not a playoff team. They're not a play-in team, but it took until the last weekend to be eliminated. I thought that was a win for the Bulls this season to go until the last weekend before being eliminated.
I don't think so. They were better. They should have been better. I mean, they're a frustrating team. They really are. Zach is, I'm a believer in Zach. Okay. Like I am act like that dude can play. Mm-hmm. That dude is a legit like NBA star. You know, he really like, he showed incredible, sort of improvement this year. I liked all the deals they made, mm-hmm. you know, there's just like, there's a lot of holes and there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of sloppiness and a lot of like sort of, self-destruction that happens on that team. But again, like ultimately it's just like there's just not enough talent on that team, you know. There just isn't. I mean, when you're looking at a team like the Celtics, right, who are, you know, a little better in their record, and when you compare the talent on that team to the Bulls team, it's just they don't have enough tools.
Well, unfortunately I have to agree with you, even though the way I would pitch it is, hey, the Celtics had two All-Stars this year, and so do the Bulls. Unfortunately, the second All-Star was Vucevic, and as soon as Vucevic arrived, Zach LaVine was out for quite some time. The team just never made it. What do you think they should do in the summer, though? The big question is going to be Lauri Markkanen. He's going to be a free agent. I know a while ago you were hoping for a Markkanen season to carry through a bad Bulls year. He's had a couple of stretches here and there, but might be a pretty penny for Lauri.
I think you gotta get rid of him. And I think it's one of those things where like, I think he could have a rebirth somewhere else, but I think sometimes just a change of scenery, you know, for a player like that who hasn't put the pieces together in one place, I think changing it, I could 100% see him being quite good somewhere else. Cause he does have all the tools, but I just think you're not going to get that out of him there. And so I think that's, you know, you kind of cut your losses on him.
Well, you seem to watch a ton of ball.
It's like slightly embarrassing.
We love it.
Basketball I watch.
We won't tell Rachel or Lawrence that you're taking in league pass.
Yeah, let me tell you about who I think should be the 10th man in a Timberwolves rotation. Okay?
You are going deep. I totally agree that it's fun to watch, you know. 25, 28, 29. I'm not sure about Alexei Pokuševski. I guess no, you're right. Every team has somebody that is of interest.
Pokuševski is just funny, is fun to watch because it's like, here's a kind of human I've never seen before. I didn't know they made them like this. Yeah. Like, this is an interesting, this is an interesting person.
Yeah, I guess it's a little similar to Giannis in 2013 when he got there, but because OKC is just throwing anybody and everybody out there, like Giannis didn't get the time with the Bucks way early, but the similar body types. But Pokuševski's not going to put on muscle mass. maybe I guess there's,
I don't know, man.
Possibility.
Well, I mean, yeah, we'll see. Listen, I gotta go do my editorial call. For my
we took you away from that. I'm going to give you one question for our man JD here,
please,
who is in the arts, loves the arts. You directed Lin-Manuel Miranda's first play in high school. Can you tell us about that before you go?
I can. It was his first musical. I think he might have written another play. It's the first musical Lin ever wrote. It was called Nightmare in D Major. It followed the nightmare of it was sort of surrealist nightmare of a kid named Dylan. At one point, the fetal pig he had dissected comes back to haunt him. And then there's this sort of love interest that he remembers from his past. But it was really good. It was really catchy. I can still sing the songs, and which is a testament to, I'm serious. I mean, Lin has been Lin since like he was 14. Like the songs from that, we all heard them. We're like, these are, you know, they'll stick with you forever. So he's he's been that dude since I met him at 14. We were riding the bus together.
Is there any any little hymn you can sing us from
no, I think I'm gonna demure from that.
Well, thanks for taking the time. We really appreciate
this was fun, guys.
On. Really
so
appreciate.
Much.
Okay, I'm gonna destroy Anthony Fauci. Okay,
we've got him on next week.
All right, I'm gonna take off. Bye, guys.
Okay, thank you so much. Appreciate it. All right, that was fun.
That was awesome.
Yeah,
that was a blast. It was great. We said we'd give. He would be able to give us half an hour. Gave us 40.
I love
Gave us 40. So thank you so much to Chris Hayes for that. We're all done here. Make sure you check in our play-in previews, our play-in reactions, of course, our entire playoff previews. That'll be coming before the playoffs, where we will be going every day. We will see you next time. Thanks, guys. You could stay.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.